Recently, I covered a video from PewDiePie called PewDiePie Switches to Linux, as in a surprise video where he was building with his first gaming PC build. He briefly showcased the fact that he was actually using Linux instead of Windows, which is a very big surprise. But now even a bigger surprise, as another video has dropped, which we're going to be getting some questions answered, like why did PewDiePie switch to Linux? Why does he prefer it over other operating systems? And some of his experience that he's had using Linux. I'm very excited, but before we get on to that video, let's talk about this hilarious comment from IT Blanca. Nice of you to give him a shout out, and that was the least I could do. We also got a nice to see people shouting out lesser known YouTubers, which really cracked me up. But it's really nice to see massive YouTubers like PewDiePie giving Linux a buff, as in his latest video has received almost 4 million views at this point. It is massive. As it's great when a creator like PewDiePie makes a video about Linux because it has massive exposure, and hopefully that creates a little bit of user growth, as influential creators like PewDiePie have the ability to shift public perception on something that people think is hard to use and install, to really give them a little bit of a perspective on how Linux has developed over the years, including easier installation, more apps available, and even the gaming experience. So let's first get an idea of why PewDiePie switched to Linux.
Buddy, number one is how backlit this shot is. Number one, Windows talks to me like I'm a baby. Now, mentally, I might be, but that does not warrant. You want Candy Crush? You want Candy Crush on your computer? You want to use Bing? Yes. Are you sure you want to delete that file? Are you super duper sure you want to delete the file? That's how Linux talks to me, and I don't like it! Linux, on the other hand, literally puts a gun in your hand and says, "Do it. My first sort of aha moment when I installed Linux or started using it was, wait a minute, it does exactly what I wanted to do. And this is a really powerful feeling about that. I do want to show you guys my setup as well. I will get into that. But first, reason number two. As an epic minimalist, the bloat is real. It always bothered me. Anytime I install a new Windows, I spent like an hour trying to uninstall all the pre-packaged BS that I don't want. Windows is like, I know you paid $100 or whatever for me, but I'm still going to put ads in here. Yes. Put a little AI in here. You want that, right? That doesn't benefit me. It's for you, the consumer. Bing! It doesn't benefit me that you use Bing, but please use Bing. Microsoft is an annoying suite, apparently. With Linux, nothing. Serenity. Peace. Don't even get me started on the Windows taskbar. You control what's on your computer. Duh. It's f***ing obvious. How is this not a thing? Reason number three. Customization. I discovered this afterwards. Customizing on Linux is a beautiful thing. On Windows, you can maybe change your wallpaper, change a little bit of colors, whoopity-doo. On Linux, you can change reality itself. Since Linux is built modular, you can swap out your GUI entirely. You don't even have to use one. You can cut off the head of Linux and it'll still be like, hey, I'm here, what's up? Customizing on Linux is called Rising, and I got way too into it. I cooked hard. I can't wait to show you guys. Now, reason number four, gaming. Gaming on Linux is finally real. I actually installed Linux 15 years ago. That's right, I'm old. And I uninstalled it after like a couple days, as a lot of people do, when they realize, oh, I can't use the things I need on Linux. And for me, that was gaming back then, because it's like, well, then what's the point? But now, gaming on Linux is real, at last. So Valve came in like Gandalf in Helm's Deep, riding a Steam Deck with Proton. So I think this is a perfect example how Linux benefits everyone. The fact that Valve as a company recognized maybe Microsoft has a bit too much power. If they wanted to and started being shady, locking things down, taking cuts, they absolutely could. And it's not like it would be uncharacteristic for them to do. So Valve started improving gaming on Linux, boosted driver support, and they built on what was already there from open source software like Wine. By doing this, Valve benefits, consumer benefits, ecosystem grows, win, win, win. It really feels like an alternate reality, this totally could not have been a thing. And it also makes me realize just how many things can be better if people just weren't so greedy. Can we just fix them? So thank you, Linux, and thank you, Bates Gaben.
So an absolutely fantastic breakdown. As most users get frustrated with very similar things when it comes to using Windows, and the main things, or the four reasons, that PewDiePie chose to experiment and go with Linux seems to be freedom to do whatever you want on your own operating system, getting rid of the massive bloat or all the extra packages and applications that come standard with Windows, and on top of that, serve you ads, being able to customize and do whatever you want to your desktop, including removing complete segments of the operating system if you want to get rid of things like bloat or just simply customize things, and finally, being able to game. And he attributes that to Proton and Valve, as he had experience with Linux 15 years ago, which was a massive fail. And Linux has definitely come a long way when it comes to, well, what most people end up doing, gaming, on Linux. It is a viable thing, finally. And it's awesome to see a new Linux user have this experience, as they're not sacrificing when switching to Linux anymore. These are four amazing reasons. What's wonderful, in the freedom category, on Linux you are in full control. No forced updates, no telemetry unless you allow it, no locked-in ecosystems, you can see the code. I really think PewDiePie values all of this, and of course, no vendor lock-in. You're not locked into Windows and Microsoft. You can pick your Linux distribution, Ubuntu, Fedora, Arch, whatever you want, and then customize it however you want by picking your own desktop environment, GNOME, KDE, XFCE, or something minimal like a window tiling manager, and completely rice out or create your own. With Windows 10 and 11, you get forced updates, telemetry and tracking's built in, proprietary code that you can't see or modify, and just limited system control. All things that diminish that freedom. And I love to see the breakdown that PewDiePie had here. Also, when it comes to bloat, I mean, you can get extremely lightweight with running Windows managers on less than 50 megabytes of RAM, or a full-fledged desktop experience for somewhere between the 500 megs to 700 megs. And even a modern desktop environment like GNOME running at about 1.1 to 1.2 gigs of RAM, the bloat can be as much or as little as you want. You only install the services and softwares that you want, no more, no less, and that makes for a faster, more efficient system. Compare that to Windows, where it alone consumes tons of resources on idle, typically between somewhere in 2 to 3 gigs of RAM before even opening applications, and there's hundreds of background services running, which you can't easily disable, or they even break the operating system. Again, bloat is a really real thing, and it's a fantastic reason to switch over to Linux. I'm really happy at how in-depth PewDiePie got in with this video. It's almost a 23-minute video, and not only does he talk gaming, customization, bloat, and freedom, but he also shows us what his current setup is, and the amount of detail that PewDiePie went into. I mean, I can't even call him a beginner anymore. He's really taken steps to become a power user on Linux. We're going to be checking that out, but before we do, make sure to smash that like button and take a moment to subscribe below. YouTube can get finicky and you wouldn't want to miss another video like this. Let's talk about another point, gaming. So gaming has gotten really good. Thanks to things like Proton, which is Valve's tool that's built into Steam, native Linux games now encompass over 80% of the Steam's library that often run out of the box on Linux. In this regard, Linux is finally catching up to Windows. This was a hard sell for a lot of people when you weren't able to play your favorite games on Linux, and it was a big reason people would still use a PC and Windows. I love the fact that PewDiePie is finally getting a good gaming experience on Linux, because 15 years ago, yeah, good luck, you wouldn't have played just about anything on Linux. I personally remember myself trying 15 years ago as well. Now, I had different use cases like servers and whatnot for private servers, so I was using Linux for that type of stuff, but quickly got away from Linux so I could game on my Windows PC. Nowadays, even brand new titles that come out, most of them are available day one on the Steam library, and you can play it on Linux. So then we get into a story about how switching over to Linux does have some pain points. For example, you can't use Photoshop natively anymore. A lot of people use Photoshop as a huge creator. Not surprisingly, PewDiePie used the Adobe suite, and here's his take on what happened with that whole deal. I think it's pretty wild and funny. Let's check it out.
It just won't run on Linux. A lot of artists are jumping ship. They don't want to use Adobe anymore because they realize it's a terrible company. Me as well, I thought, you know what? It's time. I'll swap over. I know the open source alternative is GIMP. I've heard about this forever. And I thought, you know, it'll feel good. I'll feel good leaving Adobe. So I'm ready. I go to their website. I click through this 1,000 pages. I crawl through the bushes just to find the goddamn unsubscribe button. And I was so ready. I was going to be like, you Adobe, just unsubscribe. You know what happens? You know what happens? They hit me with an unsubscription fee. Yes. Those. I'm sorry, what? I have to pay to not use your software. It was like $65 or something. It's insane. What the? If anything, it just made me realize, okay, it's over. I'm never going back. So like I said, the open source alternative is GIMP.
GIMP!
And since this is Linux, open source, you can do whatever you want. I downloaded this icon pack, then changed the icons so they look like the Photoshop icons. That helped a little bit. Then I downloaded a shortcut command list that matches the one on Photoshop. Boom, made it a little easier. You know, I'm still not 100% used to it, but the fact that I can do stuff like this really helps. For me, personally, a worthy sacrifice. I hope this doesn't sound like copium, but genuinely, it feels good that I was able to move on. At the end of the day, some tools are only gonna work on Windows and only gonna work on Mac, but what you gain on Linux is so much more. Freedom. Join us. I'm just praying that Adobe is not just gonna show up one day and be like, there's another fee. I'll meet them in a dark alleyway. They'll be like, that's a little fee. Now that I've convinced you to swap to Linux.
What a wild one. Imagine trying to unsubscribe from something just to get a fee for unsubscribing. Good job, Adobe. You're really screwing things up. Anyways, I thought that was a hilarious experience from PewDiePie. It's too bad that that's how things had to end with Adobe. But as you can tell, he found an alternative, GIMP. It's a free and open source tool, zero cost, so no subscriptions, no licenses. You can modify it and use your own plugins. So PewDiePie suggested that, yeah, it's not a one-to-one comparison, and it's not by any stretch of the imagination one-by-one, but there are plugins that help you kind of modify the look and feel of GIMP so that it has more of a Adobe Photoshop experience. And with GIMP 3, there's some serious editing capabilities and power behind it, including improvements to layers and masks, and just general better photo editing, retouching, and graphic design. And one big thing that most people miss is GIMP uses way less RAM and storage to do the same things. Now again, it's made more extensible with plugins, especially if you're from the Photoshop world and you like to use some of the Photoshop features or at least recreate them. But there is a lot of bad things when it comes to an alternative to Photoshop. I mean, the workspace and workflow is completely different. The full CMYK support out of the box. There's some lack of professional features, including smart objects, true adjustment layers, which happened to be fixed with GIMP 3, at least to some extent. I know that the struggle is real here for this one and switching over, but as a GIMP user myself, it's well worth the investment to get out of paying over $50 a month and then getting slapped at the end with extra fees just because you're using a piece of software. To some, it's definitely not going to be worth the switch, especially if you've been using it for a long time. I'm glad that PewDiePie can make that adjustment and switch. Good luck either way. Let's now talk about what PewDiePie thinks about the Linux terminal.
They didn't have a bad... I can't believe I paid for that. There's like free versions everywhere. That's so much better. Okay. All right. So this is the terminal.
So he gets into the terminal and he starts showing off what his system is with NeoFetch. And we can see here that he's using Linux Mint 22, at least on his desktop environment. He's actually had this installed for 72 days and has 3,137 packages. The desktop environment he's using is Cinnamon 6.4 and the shell is ZSH. For those of you wondering what kind of gaming PC Felix is running, we have an AMD Radeon RX 9070 XT, so he's using AMD graphics, and he has 32 gigs of memory with 2 terabytes of storage. This is really cool to see.
My computer was booting kind of slowly.
So I love the fact that he gets into tweaking with the Linux terminal and how he was able to actually get boot times to go down. I want to show this portion
I talked about this in my last video, but the first thing that really blew my mind with Linux, I just noticed my computer was booting kind of slowly. So I found this command called systemdanalyze, and it tells you exactly how long it takes for your computer to actually load and what part takes a certain amount of time. And it used to be like 45 seconds. I was like, dude, this is terrible. So then I found another command called blame, and then you can see exactly what part is kind of slowing down your system, which got me into like really optimizing it. And I had so much fun doing that. And it just made me realize, just like on Windows, if my computer is kind of slow, you just kind of deal with it. It's like, oh, okay. Well, what can you do? On Linux, it's like, the world is your oyster. You can fix it. Personally, I...
Now this is so cool. He's going beyond the surface level use of Linux, where most casual users wouldn't even touch a terminal, and he's using systemd analyze to dig deeper to not just how the system is booting up, but he's tuning and optimizing the boot up process. This type of curiosity and tinkering is very much at the heart of Linux. And I love to see that he's got that hacker spirit where he's trying to understand how the system works, not just using it. The fact that he was able to use tools in the terminal to optimize his boot process just shows you how in-depth he's getting. And it can be very much appreciated by Linux creators and users alike. He's really diving deep into this. I mean, honestly, how many of you can even say that you've gone to the extent that he has? If you have, make sure to post in the comments section below what you've done to optimize your system on Linux. Let's keep talking about how wonderful the terminal is and how it makes things faster, like super fast file searching.
I like that kind of stuff. The second thing that blew my mind with the Linux terminal was just how fast it is at searching. Searching on Windows is so annoying. It takes forever. Sometimes it doesn't even find the file, even though you type the name of it perfectly. And a lot of times they just bing it. They're like, oh, you want to search for your file? Oh, maybe. No, actually, you want to look it online. That's what you want to do. It's like, no. Linux, you can find any file, whatever you want. This is searching all JPEGs on my computer. That's a bad example, actually. The other thing that I love about it is that you don't have to just search the file. You can also search text inside the file. So let's say you forgot what the file is called, but you remember roughly some stuff inside it. You can grep it and bada bing, bada boom. What the hell is this? Spotify password text. Balls deep. I did not do that. What? Searching files on Linux is super fast. It made me realize just how it should be on a computer again. The most obvious thing with the terminal is that, let's say you install the operating system and you need to also put all the programs that you want to use on it. Usually you have to go on the browser, Google it, look up their page, go to their download page, dodge all the fake ads.
Not sure what's going on with the balls deep text in a text file, but you should probably get that checked out, as it could be a crypto miner or something on his system at this point. Regardless of what's going on there, the showcase here is that Linux searching is native fast and absolutely powerful. You can use terminal search tools like Findgrep, FD, and more, which have absolutely no bloat. They don't serve you ads. They take seconds, not minutes, and can go directly through as much or as little of the file system as you want. You get the fine-grained control. You can filter by name, size, date, contents, permissions, as PewDiePie showed in here. It's instant and fully customizable. And when compared to Windows search, it's slow, limited, and obscured. First off, indexing slows down your computer, especially on larger new drives. And some of the search settings are hidden beyond menus. And on top of it, they prioritize web results via Bing. Like PewDiePie showed, why the hell would I want to look on the web for my own files? It's enough to piss you off. And I don't think there's a single reason Windows would be better for searching. And it's one of the biggest frustrating things when using Windows. I'm glad he covered that. And another win for the terminal. As you can tell, he was using various different commands in the terminal to search his system. Another power user move. Even though if you wanted to use the GUI or desktop to do the same thing, it'd be just as fast because it uses some of those commands under the hood. Now we talk about using Linux on old and unused hardware. This one's fascinating as well.
I always get stuck on the dumbest ever for like 12 hours. I don't know what happened that time. But I also wanted to download Arch because it's a minimalist distro. Whatever you put, or at least 90% of it, is there because you decided to put it there. And it's also very highly customizable, which are two elements that I love. So I knew I was going to love it. All right, let's go into my laptop. I think it makes sense for me to show it without any customization first, because it does just be confusing and I need to talk to people that haven't used Linux. My first favorite thing, which I have on Mint as well, is
basically PewDiePie describes how well Linux runs on old or unused hardware, as he's actually brought a laptop from the grave and installed Arch Linux on it, which he claims made his laptop usable and fun again. With lightweight distributions like Arch Linux and the fact that you can customize on top of Arch Linux so well, it makes for great systems even on older hardware. This is where Felix gets into his customization, which we're going to sort of break down, as it is pretty cool to see what he's done. Let's let him cook for a moment.
Just shortcuts on my keyboard to open programs, open terminal, open file manager, open browser, close it, whatever. It's all there. It's such a nice workflow and have a more keyboard-centric way of using your computer, especially on a laptop. But even in general, you know, the whole like, okay, let me click on the start menu and just find the thing. If I don't have it keybind, I can open Rofi and just search for it and open it. I don't want to over-explain things as well, but yeah, this is my terminal on this setup. I'm using Alacrity, and this is NeoFetch, which shows my specs. And usually people have an ASCII art. It sounds like I'm saying ASCII. ASCII, of their distro. And if you saw my Mint one earlier, I was like, oh, it wouldn't be cool if I do like my own custom ASCII. And then I thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool if I do my own animated ASCII? So I figured out how to do that. It took a little bit of tinkering and schminkering, but it's just so nice to look at. I love it. So I'm running Hyperland, which is this beautiful tile manager. It automatically sorts it for me whenever I open something. This is such a nice workflow, and I can close it all as well. You can literally open these until infinite. When you're on a laptop, when you have limited screen space, it's such a great way to work with it. It's the fact that they're always there means I never have to look for them because I know they're there. And if my workspace is full, I can get, look at this, swap to another one. This is workspace number 2. And workspace number 4, I've been recording OBS from here. Let's say I'm working on a project on workspace 1, I can then work on another thing on workspace 2.
And his setup is super awesome. I love how customized he got. He really got into the ricing on Linux. Let's break down all of his current Arch Linux setup components. Basically, the breakdown here is he's using Arch Linux currently with Hyperland, which is a Wayland-based window tiling compositor. And the terminal he's using is Alacrity. His system bar is Waybar, and for an app launcher, he's using Rofi, which he has customized. He's using widgets as well, like EWW or U for extremely customizable widget manager on Linux, and Kava as a modified custom ASCII output. He's also customized his own profile for power, storage, and battery, including network monitoring and latency. And finally, in the middle here, he's got all sorts of workspaces and states for his machine as well. I mean, this is highly customized. He's not only messed with system colors, task bars, visualizers, but he's also done ASCII animations in the terminal. He's made his own keyboard shortcuts, changed up the complete workspace workflow. He's done startup optimizations and only installed the programs he intentionally wants to use. In short, PewDiePie has built an awesome, highly minimal, very customized Arch Linux setup using all the tools listed on the screen. This is some pro level stuff, and I am super happy that PewDiePie or Felix is getting so in depth with using Arch Linux. This is completely unexpected. I mean, let's put it a little bit in perspective. PewDiePie is one of the biggest influencers in the world. He's not just a YouTuber, he's a person with hundreds of millions of fans across the globe and really reaches outside the Linux enthusiast bubble. And he's starting to use Linux seriously. This is exposing Linux to a whole new audience of people, hopefully showing them just how fun, powerful Linux is and the potential for gaming. No longer are the days where you can't play day one or things just crash or don't work at all. Instead, we're finally seeing a great gaming experience on Linux as well. He's not just trying Linux here, he's embracing it deeply as he's customized and installed Arch Linux using an awesome tiling window manager and specific tools to optimize and customize his system. He's an actual committed Linux user. This I have to give him massive respect for. He's not just using it as a gimmick, he's living the Linux life. I'm sure this is validating and encouraging people like artists, gamers, streamers, video editors, all to give a second look to Linux. I love to see the passion. And one of the most exciting parts, at least for me, in watching this video, is a little later down the line.
It's so sick. I had so much fun customizing this. It was just a blast. Yeah, I hope you guys appreciate it as well. I've been doing so much more. I built this camera as well. Like I mentioned earlier, you can communicate with Linux even without a graphical user interface GUI. That made me so excited because I'm like, wait, that means I can use other computers at my disposal. For some reason, to me, that's just like really cool. And I wanted to try what I could do with it. I want to show this in another video maybe because I feel like it's too much yapping, but...
And I'm super excited for this video. Hopefully he does it because this is my wheelhouse. I love being able to build my own tools and use Linux to solve problems. And it looks like Felix has the tinkering spirit, as there's plans to use Linux on different production environments or even projects or builds, which is a whole nother side of Linux. It's not just about utility and gaming. It's also about creativity, creating something that's personal and yours, something you can program on, something you can design or tinker with. You don't just have to use it as a computer. You can use it to make real world tech and projects. I mean, you can think stuff like home automation, which you can control things in your house with a Raspberry Pi, or which has Linux on top of it. Create your own routers, NASs, 3D printer management. You can host game servers, create home theaters, build robotics, IoT devices, scientific things. Use it for AI training, machine learning. Create a smartwatch, a tablet, a dashboard. Heck, even run a CNC machine. That's what freedom is about. I'm super excited to keep watching Felix's Linux journey as he continues to customize and break things and fix them all up. I hope it's bringing him a lot of joy and happiness and that he keeps diving deep, because at the end of the day, it really is about the freedom to do whatever you want with your own machine. And I love the fact that we'll get millions of eyes to even understand that Linux does exist. There's a link in the description below to the full video if you want to check that out. I've dragged this on long enough. Let me know your thoughts in the comments section below. Is this an exciting day for Linux? Also, don't forget to subscribe below if you haven't already. You've made it to the end of the video. You're a true fan. Catch me in a great community on Discord, and I'll catch you in another video. Thanks for watching. Linux can be hard to understand, but I take the most commonly used terms, commands, and subjects in Linux, and I break them down into simple-to-read documents, including Linux terms, flashcards, a checklist, a cheat sheet, and a mind map. And if you're ready to level up your Linux experience and knowledge, go to savvynick.com now and get access to these sheets.